My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ, being part of a team means that you have to do your part and trust that everybody else will do theirs. I think we've all worked in teams of some way or another. We see teams, professional sports, college sports, doesn't matter what it is, basketball, football, hockey, baseball, everybody has a position. You have to do your job and try not to do the job of others. Because then, who's doing yours? We see that all the time. When everybody works well, when everybody does their job, when everybody follows their task, things work and great things can be accomplished. Maybe you're not a sports person, but you've worked in a team before in another setting. Work in a team at work. You have a whole crew of different people with different tasks and different ideas and thoughts that need to happen. The one who's the manager calling the shots, the employees who are working the field and doing the actual work, the tasks that need to be done. And it extends all over the place, even to the person who delivers the mail or the one who pays the payroll. Without everybody in that team working seamlessly together, it never goes. It never works. We have relationships that we build with other people within the church, within our families, in their teams. Everybody has their role, and we work together for it. As Paul continues to talk to the Ephesians, as we continue our walk through that book of Ephesians, he once again is addressing the church and saying, now this is how we will walk, this is how we will work, and we will live as children of God. We're a team now. We're part of a big group, and everyone has their task. The thing is, now Paul's going to start talking a little bit about those different parts of the team. He's going to address, starting now, six different groups of people. He goes and talks to wives and husbands. He talks then to children and fathers. He talks to slaves and masters. He hits all kinds of different teams, different relationships. Because God has established these relationships intentionally, so that we can better serve Him and serve one another. Today in particular, he gets into marriage. You heard it when we read it together from Ephesians chapter 5, as God here addresses and talks about His plan for a healthy marriage. Because He's talking about that team of husband and wife. I realize that some of you may be looking at me and going, really, Pastor, you're going to preach a sermon on marriage? You're going to talk to husbands and you're going to talk to wives when it's not applicable to everyone? But even if you're not in that marriage relationship, even if you're not a husband or a wife, because you're not old enough, because you haven't gotten married, maybe it's because you just never will get married or no longer you stand in that relationship. I think we all still benefit from knowing and seeing how God has so fundamentally put together what I believe is the relationship that sets the tone for the next generation. Because our children learn from father and mother, from husband and wife, more so than anyone else, more so than anywhere else. And I think you can all agree with me. Much to my own disappointment, each and every one of us end up being the spitting image of our parents, whether we like it or not. We see it in ourselves. That tells you right there how much of an influence mother and father have, how important that relationship of husband and wife is. But then comes the complication, because is every single marriage out there in the world perfect? Do they always get along? Think about your own marriage. Do you argue with your spouse sometimes? Do you have disagreements on the way things should be handled or how you should do things or what they should have done? What they shouldn't leave sitting around the house? Or the countertop that should be cleared off? Marriage isn't perfect. Because the people in the marriage are imperfect people. And so that's why God, through Paul, comes to us and says, I want to give you my plan for a healthy marriage, which really is the beginning of God's plan for a healthy world so that we can, as the church, walk together in serving Christ and following Him. Let's get started. Ephesians chapter 5, this is what Paul writes. He says, by submitting to one another in reverence for Christ. Okay, he starts right there. Like I said, he's going to talk to six different groups of people now. And we're looking at two of them today. But to every single one of them, he starts this section by saying, submit to one another in reverence for Christ. How does our society feel about that word submit? How do you feel about that word submit? I think it's almost become a dirty word, hasn't it? I can't submit to anybody. Because if I submit to somebody, if I turn myself over and place myself under them, if I allow them to be the ones who get to set the tone and I just take a back seat, that seems to grind against everything that we are taught about being good, independent people who take care of ourselves and don't need to rely on anyone. So the idea of submitting to anything, it just seems so contrary to what feels right. I mean, submit to the government, submit to our parents, but what about if I don't like what they tell me? What if I don't want to do what it is they say I should be doing? Do I have to submit now? And all of a sudden, that idea of submission becomes something that none of us want to do. We have that sinful nature within us that naturally wants to rebel against God's created order. I mean, that's the whole reason why we have spun so far out of control, not just as a society, but as individual people, because we don't want to submit to anyone. I want to set the direction for my life. I think every one of us would admit when we read in God's Word that He has said, this is what I intend you to do, and we don't like it, the first thought that crosses our mind is, how can I get away with not doing it? That's because we don't want to submit to anybody. We don't even want to submit to the God who created us and the God who has saved us. It's who we are. It's sinful nature. So that idea of being submissive, well, all of a sudden it's become a dirty word. Something we don't want to do. And yet, this is what God says. He says, submit. And I'm going to tell you why. You do it out of reverence for Christ. You ever thought about this? What was Jesus willing to do for you? Jesus submitted to His Father's will. He said, God, I know what Your plan is and I will do it. I will make sure it is carried out, even if it means that I don't get what I want. You remember in the Garden of Eden, He says, Father, take this cup from me. He didn't want to die. He didn't want to suffer. He didn't want to be hung on a cross. He knew it was going to be painful. He knew He'd have to endure hell. And I don't think we can blame Him. Would any of us have done things differently? Asked for there to be another way? But not my will, Lord, Your will be done. And He knew that God's will took Him to the cross, so He goes to the cross. Jesus was so willing to submit Himself to His Father's will that He would die an agonizing death, a humiliating death, and experience hell itself for you. Now let me ask you again, is the idea of submission really all that bad? If we're willing to see Jesus do it? In fact, not just do it, to fully submit. He submits really not only to God, He submits to you because He hears the outcry of His people who say, I need You, Jesus. I need You to do this because if You don't do it, I'm lost and I'll die because of my sin. And Jesus says, for you I will be willing to do it. I will give Myself up for your benefit. You see, this is why Paul says right here, submit yourselves out of reverence for Christ. You don't do it simply because, well, I need to make sure that they're placed first. That's good motivation. But your sinful nature is going to have problems with that. Instead, he says, submit yourselves out of reverence for He who submitted Himself for you. Because you love and you honor and you respect your God, that's why we give ourselves over fully and completely to the roles that God has asked us to fill, even if we're not all that excited about them. So now he gets into the specific relationships we're talking about. And I always found this fascinating. It's almost as if when Paul was writing this, he starts off and he goes, okay, women, wives, I'm talking to you now. I want you to listen. And partially like he's saying, men, you can tune out now, because this part doesn't apply to you. And then when he gets done, he's going to go over to the other side and goes, okay, men, your turn. You got to listen. Husbands, this is how I expect you to be. Wives, you can tune out now. I'm not asking you to tune out, please. Don't only listen to your section. There's benefit for all of us. But he has a reason for that. And this is something I always talk with my premarriage counselors about. When Paul is talking here to husbands and wives, the wife section is intended for the wives, and the husband section is intended for the husbands. I know that sounds obvious, but the wife section is not intended to be used as a club for husbands to beat their wives into submission, saying, you see, you're not doing what God told you to do. And vice versa. God is saying, I want you to take benefit for yourselves in your own life out of what this is saying. So this is what he writes. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he himself is the Savior. Moreover, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Submission is about order, not about value. I want to say that again. Submission is about order. It's not about value. What do you think about that phrase? Because that's really what God has in mind when he put the relationship of husband and wife together. When he created Eve out of the rib of Adam and he brought them together and he said, now Adam, you are to be the head of the household, and Eve, I am asking you to be his helpmate, to be the one that makes sure that he can succeed in what he is doing, because he can't do this alone. God doesn't do that because Eve is somehow naturally inferior. Not at all. Because it's about order and keeping good order, and not about who is more valuable than the other. The idea of submission does not naturally say that all of a sudden we have become inferior based on gender or based on social class or based on anything. We're all the same. It's pretty obvious, aren't we? We're all the same. God created us all out of the dust. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And God has justified us freely by His grace, one and all. Do you really think God sees any difference between us based upon husband, wife, male and female? God doesn't see a difference. Which must mean that submission is about order, not about value. One is not inferior to the other. So why is it then that God says, submit yourself to your husband, be willing to take his lead, and do whatever you can to help him in that regard? Again, remember, submission is that dirty word, right? We don't like this. We don't like that idea. Let me fill it in for you, and it gets a little bit easier to swallow. Maybe. In fact, when I get done with this, I think all the guys are going to be mad at me. Because God, when He placed an order of creation, He said, husbands, I intend you to be the one in charge. I intend you to be the one who is responsible. So that means in your families, if things don't go right, it's your fault. And if your family doesn't know their Savior, that's your fault. Because I intended in this order of creation where I have taken males and put them into a position where I want them to be leaders in the home and leaders in the world and leaders in the church. If you don't take your responsibility of leadership seriously and everything falls apart because of it, that's your fault. All of a sudden, being the one in charge doesn't sound all that great anymore, does it? And that's where God says, now wives, this is what I have called you to do. Submit yourself to your husbands as the church submits to Christ. As they work and live and breathe and do everything they can in support of what it is that Christ has done. Because that is what He has asked us to do. Not because it is a difference in value where one is inferior to the other, one is more important than the other. Not at all. Because this is the order that God has put in place. So wives, let me ask you now, if you submit yourself to your husband or anyone in that relationship of order, who really are you giving honor and respect to? It comes down to giving honor and respect to God who has created such order. Submission isn't a nasty thing. Remember, Jesus submits. Jesus is willing to say, I'll do what I can to help and to follow. What a glorious privilege it is for each and every one of us, because we all have that. Because we're all the church, just like it said. We submit ourselves as the church submits themselves to Christ. Do we set the tone of what our church body does? Do we set the tone of how the ministry is to be done? Or do we follow what Jesus has put forth? We follow Him into battle because we know He will win the victory. We submit ourselves to Him. What beauty there is in that. And Paul continues, because the next session he says, husbands, love your wives in the same way as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy by cleansing her with the washing of water in connection with the Word. He did this so that He could present her to Himself as a glorious church, having no stain or wrinkle or any such thing, but so that she would be holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands have an obligation to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. To be sure, no one has ever hated his own body, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will be one flesh. Love. Love, a self-sacrificing love even. Think about it for a moment. What great lengths was Jesus willing to do in order to save His bride? The Bible calls the church, us, His people, His bride. I love that picture. Because what groom doesn't absolutely adore his bride on their wedding day? We make a big show of it. You've been to weddings before, right? Where the doors in the back are closed and you wait until the bride is already standing there perfectly. And you open the doors to get the gasp moment from the groom. What groom, what husband does not absolutely adore his wife at that moment? I want you to realize that that gasp moment is what Christ has for you. Because He says, look at my people, look at my church, my bride, the church which has been prepared so beautifully and wonderfully adored for me, so that she could be made holy and perfect and righteous. And God has such affection and such love. Look at the lengths He's willing to go to show that love. Because this same Christ, the one who absolutely adores His church, this same Christ is the one who was willing to sacrifice everything for it. He gives up His own life. When God says, husband, love your wives, this is the kind of love He means. The love that says, I will forego my own desires, I will get rid of my own needs, and I will do so in order to provide for my spouse, for my wife. That same self-sacrificing love that Christ had for His church, that's the love that God says we are to show and we are to have in this beautiful relationship that He has put in place that foregoes all else. We're part of a team. We have this beauty, this wonder of what God has made in our relationship with one another. And we have all kinds of relationships. But God points out here one that really sets a tone for so many others. And He says, look, it's not just about your relationship with one another. It's not just about a spousal relationship, because you see in it the shadow of our relationship with our God. Jesus, the one who loved us so much that he would sacrifice himself, and now he calls upon us to submit ourselves to his will and to trust in his guidance and his wisdom and his love, to be able to say, I will follow you, Lord, wherever you go. To know that this is what God has intended for so many of us. What he wants for our relationship with him. And he gives us this beautiful shadow of that relationship with him in the marital relationship that we see on this earth. What beauty there is in there. What willingness there is for us to submit, for us to respect, and for us to love. And to be able to see that God has a plan for a healthy marriage. And at the center of that plan is him. So we give ourselves to him. We trust in his wisdom and in his grace. We serve no matter what it may mean and however it may be, so that he may be exalted until the day that he brings us to our new heavenly home. Amen.